You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I was one of five who had never seen the dance call. And so it was a great dance call. And there was a girl there who actually helped me through it, which was really nice. Like, she saw that I had trouble with one spot and she gave me like one or two tips, and it changed my audition. It changed my dance call. And I was like, this is so great. Like, I was like, that gave me hope for better and healthier and more positive audition rooms. Because rather than everybody's out to get each other, it's, we're all just coming out of this pandemic. We all want jobs, but we all also want to like celebrate the fact that this community is coming back to life. So let's celebrate each other. You know, we all rise when we lift each other.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried a free trial yet, go to the website builtforthestage.com and you'll be on your way to 7 days working with your own fitness coach on an interactive app, builtforthestage.com, or click the link in the description of this episode. Special thanks to our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right. Oh, we have one more thing. I do these intros live. They're not pre-recorded, so they're always different. But one more thing. We do have a performance / rehearsal line in our apparel coming out. So super stoked for that. We're leveling up here at Built for the Stage. Definitely we'll send out some of the gear to our guest and BFTS fam that I'm about to introduce. My energy levels, it's Friday right now. We're recording this end of the work week, but I haven't had this much energy the entire 7 days of grinding because I'm so excited for this lovely lady. Please welcome to the show, Olivia Valley.
Hi. How Hello. Are you doing? Hello, greetings.
Hi.
Salutations.
So you're in New York or Jersey? Where are you right now?
I'm in Jersey.
Jersey. Okay, so and it's
Jersey.
It's thunderstorming like crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's really crazy right now. We actually just lost power and then we got it back. I don't know if anybody heard that, but that was the lightning and thunder.
I actually thought that was you hitting your microphone, but no, that was thunder. Wow.
Nope. I know. That's Jersey for you.
That's Jersey for you. So we actually met doing your podcast with Fiona, right? Back.
Yeah.
What's your backup plan podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I want to jump into that first before we get into like all things Pretty Woman and maybe Jersey Boys or Wicked or stuff like that. But tell us about the experience of starting the podcast. You started it during the pandemic, right?
Yeah, so we started about a month after the pandemic.
Okay, I just want you to like tell us your experience and like give the listeners an idea of like what it takes to start a podcast and maybe like things you learned or funny stories or complications, because I think a lot of people are just like, oh, you know, a podcast, you just talk to people, hit record, and that's it. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it's definitely not that. So Fiona and I really wanted to come up with something to highlight how any type of creative person or person who was creative and transitioned out of performing or stage managing or any of that, how they did that and how even if you do those things, it's not a backup plan. It's just another form of being an artist and you don't lose that. And so we really wanted to challenge the question, what's your backup plan now that this pandemic has happened? Because it's everybody's least favorite question. So we started to just talk to a bunch of people and really emphasize how no matter what choice and what path you take, it doesn't make it a backup plan. And you don't need to have, you don't need to be a star on Broadway to need a backup plan. You know, mm-hmm. like I just think Fiona and I think that there is this very unrealistic standard for performers when it comes to people expecting something out of them. And so if you don't make it big, you need to hustle and you need to do all these millions of different things. And if you didn't get the lead role on Broadway, you failed. And that couldn't be any further from the truth, because success in every facet of life, but also in the arts, it's relative. Not everybody wants to be the star. Some people just want to be a dance captain, and that's amazing. Some people just want to be in the ensemble, and some people just want to work, and they don't care what job it is. And there is no right or wrong answer. And so we figuring out how to do a podcast is bananas, because you can read all the articles you want, you can have all the great gear you want, and then there are all the minute details of like setting up the microphone. Like, for everybody that doesn't know, Joe and I just did a health test for our microphones because we are apparently doctors now for microphones. Like, we have to see if the recording equipment is compatible with our computers. We have to see if we have good recording equipment to make sure that we can give clarity for our listeners. And then also, when you create a podcast, you don't want to ask the same, like you have like 200 episodes. Are you going to ask the same question? That's the thunder. It's crazy. You don't want to ask the same question every single time, every 200 episodes. Mm-hmm. So we tried to find ways to be creative and insightful and keep people entertained. And so there is so much more than just like, I'm just starting a podcast and everyone in the pandemic started a podcast. Like, it's so much deeper than that. And it's so... it's so much harder than that. And so I think it's time we put some respect on podcasters' names.
Right, right. Let me tell you a little story about me getting started. So you all did such a fabulous job. For me, it was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I heard of this app or platform called Anchor that does like a lot of the work for you. Mm-hmm. But I had no equipment. And what I was doing... I would pull up the Anchor app on my phone and plug in these lapel mics that were like on a on a splitter. So I'd hook up the lapel mic, and then like my guest would be sitting just like a foot or two away with their lapel mic hooked up. And we're not in a studio. Like, some of them were like streets of New York, homeless people yelling, car horns. But you know, like, for everyone listening, I hope you take this to the bank, where it's like, sometimes you just got to start, you know, you just got to start, and then you never know where it'll take you. So I'll just leave that on our podcast conversation there.
I love it.
Let's move on to, we're going to get to Vivian with Pretty Woman. We're going to get to it, I promise. But there's so much I want to unwrap here, because I think there's a lot of gold to just unveil. You went to school at Montclair State, right? In New Jersey?
Yeah, Jersey girl through and through.
What is it? The Eagles or something? The
Red Hawks.
The Red Hawks. I saw some. I was doing my research and saw like some. It looked like an eagle just because it was a statue and it had no color to it. So I was like, oh, is this okay? So the Red Hawks. Excuse me. Did you know that? Okay, I'll ask you. Who do you think the most famous actor is that went to Montclair State?
Bruce Willis.
Damn. Yep. Bruce Willis.
Sorry. That was it.
I saw that. I was like, oh, the who's who of alumni from Montclair State. There's good old diehard Bruce Willis right there.
Maybe the most controversial Christmas movie out there.
Right. Still being debated to this day whether it's a Christmas movie or not.
I love it.
Let's get into your experience there, your time there. And because I went to Coastal Carolina, which is they're a growing program. They have a BFA down there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But it was still like kind of grassroots when I started, and I had some other options, but financially those options didn't really make sense for me at the time. So I kind of, you know, I didn't go to whatever, Michigan, CCM, blah, blah, blah. When you entered the city after Montclair State, you know, was that ever in your mind? Or, you know, I have some coaching points I want to highlight here. So I want to see what you have to say.
So my journey into musical theater was pretty much a late bloomer story. I didn't know I wanted to get into musical theater until I had to pick a college career my junior year of high school. And so I was like, I like to sing and I like to act and I do the school musicals and plays. Feels right. And so I went and auditioned only for Montclair State because it's a lot of money to travel, to pay the audition fee, to pay the entry fee, to pay for a hotel, a car, and all the other things that are included with auditioning. It's insane. And so I only auditioned for Montclair, and I was like, if I don't get in, I'm just going to take classes in the city, and I'm just going to, and then I'll re-audition the year after. And so I had, at that point, no true vocal training, no true dance training, and no true acting training.
Whoa. So let's rewind here. So junior year comes along and you're like, I like to sing. Mom, dad, I'd like to spend $80,000 on a career in musical theater. How's that sound? And mom and dad were just like, cool.
Yep.
That's kind of how my parents were too. I had an audition coach for my college auditions, and they like asked her, hey, can Joe like really make a career of this? And my audition coach said yes, and that was it. Like, they're like, all right, you know, go ahead and get into debt for the rest of your life with this musical theater degree. See you later. Bye.
Yep. Just like, good luck. If this is what you want to do, then like, sure. But also, you know, try to make a living for yourself.
Yeah. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, please. I love
it. Okay. So you had no formal training prior to it, and you were just kind of, I guess, figuring it out once you got to the program.
Oh yeah. And like there was like the big dance audition and everyone was wearing their beautiful black leotards with pink tights and the fancy ballet bun. And I walked in with sweatpants and sneakers on and found out what a plié was the minute I started the audition. I literally looked at the people in front of me and just did what they did. And I was like, I hope this is right. And then I sang and I did my acting monologues, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I found out 2 months later that I got in, and I was one of 20 people that got in. And it was the coolest, hardest, most intimidating experience of my academic life, because you walk in freshman year and you have people who have studied this their entire life and they grew up on musical theater and they are already a triple threat, and you're like, why am I here? I was like, I know pop songs. I didn't even know what Carousel was. So it was intimidating, but luckily our class, like, it was a good group of people who were in the same boat as me. And then everybody else was like very supportive and very lovely. And then going through this whole learning experience in college, you learn, luckily we had to take dance, acting, and voice. And so I learned pretty quickly how to do all of that, thankfully. And I also had wonderful professors who helped along the way, which I'm really grateful for. And then I kept doing all the shows and I got more experience of doing shows. And then our senior showcase came along, and for your second semester of your senior year, you can opt out of doing the shows if you have the credits. And I had enough show credits. So you need like three, I think, to graduate. And I had more than that, which I was very fortunate to have. And so I opted out of doing the shows because I wanted to focus on my senior showcase. I said, you know, it's great that I'm going to do the college shows, but if I want to think about the rest of my life, I need to think about my senior showcase and take it seriously. And I found that when I didn't do the shows, I was able to focus on my senior showcase and really think about who I am and what I want to bring to the table. And I found for some other people who still handled it beautifully, but when they did the show and then worried about showcase as well, naturally they were a little more stressed. And so I was very glad that I made that choice for myself. And then right out of school, I signed with my agency, and then I didn't work for a year. I was a wedding band singer, which was also the coolest experience ever. And now I know what I want for my wedding, which is great. And then I booked Wicked. And that was my first professional job.
Dang. Okay. So your first professional gig after a year of not booking and being a wedding singer, coming out of Montclair State, how did you keep your confidence up and just keep swinging, per se, as you would go into each audition?
I just kept saying, my job is to make a great first impression, because I think it's important not to think about booking the job, but booking the room. And so we had a podcast guest on our podcast for Backup Plan say, you want to book the room. And that really stuck with me because he finally put into words how I've always felt. And so I just said, I want to make a great impression for these casting directors and for these music directors, so they can go, maybe she's not right for this, but how about another project? Mm. And so even when I was discouraged and I felt very much like, wow, I had so many agent appointments, so many people had so much faith in me, and now I'm not working, it was easy to think, oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. But I kept reminding myself that the right gig for me is coming, and it wasn't the jobs that were being presented to me. And the right jobs I was being called back for. And that's also a part of my job, is having the callback. And after callbacks, at the end of the day, especially when it comes to final callbacks, it's not about you at that point. It's about if 12 people approve of you, general managers, producers, music directors, if you fit the look of the show, like do you fit your lead's height range? Do you fit vocally with the rest of the company? So there are a whole lot of other factors that have nothing to do with you at that point.
Yeah.
And so that's what really helped me push forward. And I also have a great support system, and I also think that is like essential.
Okay, so you book Wicked, the tour in the ensemble. You also understudied Alphaba. Mm-hmm. You then go on at some point in the mix of your career, you're in the off-Broadway production of Jersey Boys playing Mary Delgado, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's hilarious that your last name is Valley, spelled with an I, and the show is about Frankie Valley, and there's that whole part in there about like, no, you got to end your name in an I, you're Italian. And she's like, whatever, pizza, cannoli, spaghetti, or whatever. And yep. I see your name and I'm like, no, S-H-I-T, no shit. There's Olivia Valley in Jersey Boys. What'd you had to have some fun with that.
Oh, I did. And that was a 6-year process in the making. So when I was in college, I was auditioning for Jersey Boys on Broadway for Francine. But the original company member stayed from the start till the end. And I love that for her. And I was like, all right, just never worked out for me. And when I was on the road with Wicked, I still was auditioning for the off-Broadway production and for the tour. And it just never happened. And so Auditioning for the off-Broadway production when I booked it was the first time I auditioned as Mary. Every other time I auditioned as my aunt. And the Jersey Boys company made it very clear to me that we're not hiring you and you're not here because of your grandpa. You're here because you're actually talented. And that's a huge thing I like to emphasize on from my career is that I have a very cool grandpa. A lot of people know him, but his career and my career are completely independent and separate. And he literally
you want to know something? I have to interrupt you. Do you want to know something hilarious that I have to admit to right now is that I did due diligence of researching for the episode and blah, 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 which I always do. But you're saying right now Frankie Valli is your grandfather.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Because I did not know that at all.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, Valli, there she is. She's got the same last name. There's a Roscoe's Chicken. There's a Roscoe the Bedbug Dog. There's Roscoe Pecole Train from Dukes of Hazzard. There's tons of Roscoes. So whatever, Valli. I'm not going to assume that you're actually related, but you are. Oh, yeah. Snap. Well, this is different. This is a whole different story right now.
Right, right. And like so many people, because I just don't like bring it up. When I joined Wicked, it took 6 months for people to be like, wait, he's really your grandpa? And I was like, yeah. Just because like, he's like quite literally like, he's just my grandpa. Like he didn't even want me auditioning for musical theater school because he wanted me to be a pop singer. And when I told him my choice, he was like, I'm going to support you like the way a parent and a grandparent should. He's like, and if anybody questions the legitimacy of your career, let your talent speak. And that has been my entire thing. Like you can say what you want and you can think what you want. It's not true because that's not how this business works. And I'm just going to let my talent and my hard, hard work speak.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I love that in so many different capacities, career-wise, life-wise, sport, fitness, so many things. Let the work do the talking. I love that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
All right, we're not going to make a whole episode about you being the granddaughter of Frankie Valli, so... maybe I'll have you
because part two.
Exactly. We'll have you on for part two because I'm a huge fan and yada yada. But anyways, all right. The exciting part, which all of it's been exciting, but the most recent exciting news is you booking the lead Vivian in Pretty Woman, the musical tour coming out. I'm so stoked for you. I'm so excited to kind of. You know, you joining Bill for the Stage and getting to know you from the podcast and just like going through pandemic hell with you and the rest of us. Who would have thought, you know, that right now you'd be sitting, you know, talking to me and having just finished a week of like 1,000 fittings and all the other craziness that you've been doing, like. Episode one of What's Your Backup Plan, you're not thinking, oh, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be the lead in the national tour of Pretty Woman.
Right.
Tell us, let's just start in the beginning of like, I guess your agent says, hey, I'm submitting you for Pretty Woman. You have sides or I don't know, a Zoom audition. Who knows what's going on, I guess, during the pandemic. When did this all start? And I think there's like a dramatic turn of events that it wasn't like, oh, I'm auditioning for Vivian from like day one. Like, tell us.
So my agent calls and this is mid-July. And I'm seeing a lot of my friends like getting ready for this big audition and they're dressing like Pretty Woman. And I'm like, oh, Pretty Woman auditions must be happening. So my agent calls and they're like, hey, we'd love to send you in for Kit DeLuca. And I was like, great, sounds good to me. And I was reading over the sides and I was reading over the music and I was like, it's really good, but I just don't know if it's the right fit for me. And so I was like, whatever, I'm just going to make the most of it. And I walk in. I send in a tape first. I send in a self tape and they watch it and they like it a lot. And so they were like, we'd love to see her in person. And so this was my first in-person audition back. I had like 4 or 5 self tapes before then that just like nothing came of it, which is like, whatever. It's the audition world. Things happen. Everyone wants a job. And so
sorry if you said this already. What month are we in right now? When is this?
We are like at the tail end of August.
No, not literally. When this is happening, what month
are
we?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
The episode's already like amazing. So that just made it so much better.
Thank you. It's mid-July when this happens, like the third week of July.
Okay, so this wasn't too long ago. Okay.
It wasn't too long ago. It was like the second or third week. So it was like a month ago. Math. Yeah. I don't know how to math.
No. You're good.
And so I walk in, it's my first in-person audition back. Everyone's required to wear masks. The safety protocols are fabulous. It's not 864 million people in a room. It's quite literally like 4. And so it was nice to have that like moment to like sit and breathe and think. And I went in and everybody's wearing their mask and they have like a mask chair that you can like put your mask on and it's a really good time. So I did my audition and they were like, wow, that was really amazing. Thank you. And they told me to wait outside. And so for those who don't know, I am a strong mover. That's pretty much where that's at. I can't give a triple pirouette into a layout. That's, you know, I will leave that to the pros and cheer you all on. So in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to dance. It's going to be so hard. I'm so scared. And the monitor comes out with a packet and they were like, hey, can you come in for Vivian on Friday? And it was Wednesday when this happened. And they were like, we think you would do a really good job with this. And at that point, I was recording for a concept album on Friday. So I was like, I can't, but I can learn the material by tomorrow. Let the work speak. And so it was 2 full sides and 3 full songs. And I had never seen Pretty Woman. I've never heard Pretty Woman. Like, I went in blind to this.
Okay.
And so in 12 hours, I memorized and learned the entire packet.
Memorized.
Like, I went in and like I held the paper just in case because I was terrified. But I had it completely memorized. It was like a safety blanket. And it was like, why was I even holding this? Like, but that's also just how my brain works. Like, I can memorize things.
Is full out Jerry Mitchell in the room?
At this point, yes, he is.
He would have, which I'm sure he noticed that this girl, you came in on a Wednesday, right? Initially?
Mm-hmm.
In one day, comes back just like, bing, bang, boom, like hashtag full out to its fullest.
Yeah, so, like really.
All right, amazing. Okay, so you're in the room, you got your papers, but you don't need them. You're doing two sides and three songs. Okay, keep going. Loving it.
And what I liked about The Room and about the team especially, which was very telling, was that they thanked me for learning it so quickly. And in a lot of audition rooms where I've had to learn like four sides and three songs in 12 hours, they don't thank you. And it's a lot. And so just to be like recognized like that was really wonderful. And to have my work acknowledged like that was also like, oh, I like this room, because when I audition, I also like to audition the room as well. I want to see like what I might be working with. I think it's important to be aware of that. And so Jerry Mitchell was like, you are sensational. He was like, when you come back tomorrow early, he's like, because I know you have to record. He was like, be ready to dance and just get a little more solidified with the music. He's like, you already are. He's like, but don't hold the paper. And I was like, oh, yay. and he was like, and get ready for tomorrow. And so I went home and I just had the time to let the scenes like marinate and the songs marinate. Cause at that point I was like, all right, now I can like really act, not like 50% act, 50% figure out how I'm going to sing this and how I'm going to be able to like memorize all the words. So I tested myself again and I memorized everything, which was good. And I just really prepared for the next day. And I woke up at 7:30 in the morning, warmed my body up, warmed my voice up, and walked in at 10 a.m. to dance. And I had never learned this dance call before. And I was one of five who had never seen the dance call. And so it was a great dance call. And there was a girl there who actually helped me through it, which was really nice. Like, she saw that I had trouble with one spot and she gave me like one or two tips, and it changed my audition. It changed my dance call. And I was like, this is so great. Like, I was like, that gave me hope for better and healthier and more positive audition rooms. Because rather than everybody's out to get each other, it's, we're all just coming out of this pandemic. We all want jobs, but we all also want to like celebrate the fact that this community is coming back to life. So let's celebrate each other. You know, we all rise when we lift each other. And it's hard in the audition room because obviously coming out of a pandemic and coming out of this really tragic time that, you know, we're still navigating through, it was just really, really insightful and really hopeful. And so after that dance call, they're still dancing and I get pulled out to sing with the music supervisor and the writer of the score. Like, I was losing my mind. And they gave me one or two notes and they really liked what I was doing. And then I went back to dance. And this time I was partnering to tango. And I can tell you, I've tangoed zero times in my entire life.
I actually took a tango class, like a semester of it. It's very fun. Let's hear your experience. Tell us how it went.
Luckily, I had a partner that was so wonderful, so kind, so helpful. And like, Jerry was in the room. And it was really just lovely and wonderful. And I was terrified, but they were like looking to see if I could move rather to see if I could like do the dance. So that happened and I survived and they were happy with it. And I went to go get changed into like my Vivian audition outfit and in front of the entire team, and it was being recorded for the producers and the general management team. I did all of the scenes and all of the songs and I left, and I've never slept harder in my entire life. And I thought I would, for Jersey Boys, I had a 4-hour callback and that was easier than this. And I keep saying, like, if I can make it through the Jersey Boys callback, I can make it through anything. And now I'm like, if I can make it through a Pretty Woman callback, I can make it through anything. And it was like a cool little celebration moment. And it was really nice to celebrate myself, because I feel like we should, especially coming out of this. But even just in regular circumstances, we should just celebrate ourselves anyway. I said, even if I don't get this job, I'm just so proud of how far I made it. And I am so proud that this was my first audition in person back, and they liked me that much. And if it's not this, then it's going to be the next big thing. And I'm just so excited to be back and grateful to be auditioning. Mm. And a week later, I got the call that I was going to be Vivian, and I just cried. I just broke down and cried. Like, my agent was like, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you like absorb this and cry, and then I'll call you back. And I was like, yeah. And it was so funny. I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, no. He's like, cry. He's like, I'm just going to tell you the important stuff a little later. He's like, go feel your feelings. I was like, okay.
I'm just going to let you go. I'll call you back. We'll try this again, but congratulations.
Yeah, we'll do a take two.
Amazing. Okay. So congratulations. Congrats on like living by your mantra of letting your work do the talking, because you came in not even auditioning for the role, but you obviously, you even said the role that you're going in for. What's the character's name again? Sorry.
Kit DeLuca.
Kit. So you come in for Kit. You're like, I don't know, but like, I'm going to just whatever, put my best foot forward. And then boom, it leads to them seeing something in you that they had no idea. And then here you are booking the role of Vivian. So amazing. I hope everyone listening got a lot of gold there, because there is plenty. You're also going to be starring opposite of good old Roger Adam Pascal. What do you think about that?
When I heard that, I was like, no way. No way. And I just thought, like, to be co-stars with somebody of that caliber of talent, and somebody who is quite literally, for a lot of men, the blueprint of rock singing in musical theater, uh-huh, is like the coolest thing ever. And he invited me to his 54 Below concert so that I could meet him. And I was just so impressed by his level of authenticity and his willingness to already be so open to somebody who has experience in this field, but not as a full-time principal 8 times a week. Like, he could have just been like, oh, you know, whatever, I'll see her when I see her in rehearsals or for the photo shoot, because we had a photo shoot. And he said, no. I took the liberty because one of our general managers was like, we'd like you two to meet. And Adam was like, I took the liberty to do it already. And I just thought that was really impressive and a really, really cool thing to do. And I know for me and throughout my career, that's something I plan to do now, because I'll never forget how that made me feel and how that made me feel so respected as a person and not just a performer.
Yeah, absolutely. One summer at Maine State Music Theater back in the day when I wasn't so old, this performer, David Hess, who was like just a seasoned vet on Broadway and whatever regionally. And he invited like the younger cast members out to like a lunch. Like, this was like his thing. Like, he would always do that because he wanted to like get to know you and just encourage you. And yeah, to what you're saying, it goes such a long way, and you don't realize how much it impacts individuals.
Yeah, it really does go to show how our actions influence others, and especially like younger generations, like good and bad. You know, it really does go to show that.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, I'm just reminiscing with Adam, thinking about listening to him in middle school, like to my Aida CD and all those things. So.
No, but Sam, I was like watching the movie and then the musical and then all. Wow. I was like losing my mind. It was cool.
All right. So as we wrap up this episode, what has your quote unquote onboarding process looked like so far? It seems like they just have you've hit the ground running. You're going from one thing to the next. What all have you done so far in preparation for this?
A lot of your workouts. Definitely a lot of that, because Vivian does not leave the stage. And there is a certain level of endurance that she has to have, but also strength. She wears 5-inch platform boots for most of Act One. Like, that takes a lot of full body strength. And so it's mm-hmm. a lot of preparing my my physical body. I've been studying with my voice teacher with the music, and also Will Van Dyke, who wrote the music for the show. We've already had rehearsals just to get everything solidified. It's photo shoots, it's meetings, it's so many emails, it's fittings, it's now contracts and the legitimacy of it all, and figuring out like taxes and flights and preparing for a life on tour again. So it's like my humidifiers and my supplements and like my resistance bands for the road and my weighted jump rope and PT and thinking about ways to make travel easier for my body and trying so hard to mentally prepare for something I've never done before, which is be a principal, launch a first national tour, and build a show. Because from the jump, I have been just put into a show. And now I'm with an entire group of people and we're all just, we all have like hammers and saws and nails and we're just going to build this thing bit by bit. So it's also walking in with gratitude, but also a very conscious energy of this is my job. It's time to go to work.
Yeah.
And yeah, maintaining a level of professionalism, because now that I'm a lead, whether I like it or not, I have to be mindful of the things I say and the things I do because it does trickle down. And
yeah. My favorite saying in regards to that is, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Just basically saying, you know, if you want to be at the top, there's a lot of responsibility and pressure and added weight, I guess, on your shoulders that you have to endure for sure.
Yeah. But I'm ready for it, you know, and I'm grateful for it too. And I'm excited to see how I figure it out and navigate it. And I'm just so pumped.
Yeah. Well, we know you're ready. You sound ready. You definitely are. And speaking of getting ready, I did see Pretty Woman on Broadway with Fam, Tommy Bracco, Chris Rice, and the heels. I do remember the red, like, are they red? Maybe I'm like mixing this up with Kinky Boots, but I think they're red still. No, maybe they're black. You would know.
Oh, they're black.
They're black, and you have like that denim jumper, like the shorts on, right? I think it's denim, like an overalls thing.
No, it's like a skirt connected to a shirt with like a little ring. Thing.
maybe now I'm mixing up Pretty Woman, the movie where Julia Roberts might have on some type of over. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, we got to get your posterior chain, your low back, everything ready for those heels for sure. And I definitely want to add on our flow yoga program, because sitting in the car or the bus or wherever you're going to be traveling, you know, I think that's going to do, that's going to pay amazing dividends, because I just got back on that train, the flow train that we provide. And I'm like, why did I step away from this? Like, I feel amazing. And it's only
feel great.
Yeah. And it's only like 8 to 12 minutes. And I'm like, Joe, like, come on, stick with this. Come on. So we definitely need to start getting on that. So I'm gonna write a note right now to edit your programming for next week. So
that's because you're the best.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I am like, y'all can't see me right now, but in my voice, I hope you hear like just how genuinely excited and thrilled I am for you. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be a part of this and a part of the Built for the Stage fam and to be on the podcast and just, I'm just so excited. Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. All right, everyone. That was Olivia Valley, who I guess now I know is the granddaughter of Frankie Valley. Surprise.
Surprise.
Learn something new every day, I guess. But if you want to follow along with her journey, make sure you check out her Instagram. It's in the description of this episode. Just give that a click. Make sure to follow. And just see how her just fun unimaginable experience is going to be as the lead in Pretty Woman. So super excited for her. Thanks again for listening to Built for the Stage podcast. If you like it, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. It would be greatly appreciated. Joe Roscoe here, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.